The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
oh! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to another Saturday, another addition or subtraction of the Computer Corner. We've been here on these fine airwaves for over a decade talking to you about technology, about computers, about troubles, consternation, issues, frustrations, whatever it is, or just about advice and generally trying to have a good time at the same time while we're doing that. All these frustrations and things with technology, with computers, with the things in your lives, they're things that are necessary for you now to be able to do your job, for you to be able to go to school, get an education, for you to be able to have entertainment. There's people that are worried that television someday is going to be replaced, like newspapers are starting to be replaced, because this internet is starting to take so much of our time away. I don't know about that. I know Kevin's an addict.
Yeah, well, no, I don't really watch much TV.
I meant the internet.
I love the internet.
I know. You're if there's ever a time when you want to like see, I wonder if Kevin's online to chat. Yeah, he is. He's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's guaranteed to be there. Guaranteed to be there. Anyway, we're not talking about online chat today. We're not talking, well, actually, we're going to talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about, because that's just how we roll here. And we're also going to touch on something that's big in the media that you've been hearing a ton about. And I'm sure that if today is the first time you've heard about what we're going to talk about, that you just don't listen to radio, you don't watch television, you don't read the newspapers. In general, you've unplugged, and if we're your resource and your outlet, then thanks for making us that. But we're going to talk a little bit about a worm that's getting ready to be unleashed on the world come April 1st, this Wednesday. A worm called the Conficker worm.
I almost don't believe this.
And some people pronounce it Conflicker. And it's not. It's Conficker. There's no L in there.
Do you believe the hype?
Well, yes, I do. And I'll tell you why a little bit, in a little bit. But there may be a little bit too much mass hysteria about this. And so we're going to talk a little bit about, number one, what is this Conficker worm? What does it mean to you? What's happening in the media? And is this being overblown or not? Are there ways you can check right now to reasonably know whether or not you have an issue to be worried of? Will unplugging your computer on April 1st do any good if you are, in fact, infected? Or if you're not infected, will that somehow prevent some infection from occurring? We can answer all those kinds of questions, plus whatever your questions are about the Conficker worm or any kind of worm, Trojan, virus, malware, junkware, adware, spyware. Doesn't have to be those kinds of things. Could be I'm having these weird problems with my computer. I'm thinking about buying a new computer. Or I just got a new computer. Where do I get rid of my old stuff? Or any kind of questions about technology, about computers in general. We can talk about those things. 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. You've got two data doctors here. Guys that have been in the industry for years and years and years. I'm a little bit new to data doctors. Been around only about 13 years. I guess that's a little while, right?
That's quite a while.
And Kevin, you've been around now. What's going on? Are you going on three and, I don't know, you're going to be on
about three.
Three and change, maybe?
No, getting to three.
But before that, with lots of different organizations dealing with technology and computers in general, and so a good depth of knowledge and information we have here for you. And, of course, what we can't provide in knowledge and information, we've got other listeners, people that like to help out either by calling up and telling us when we're wrong or when they've got suggestions for things we don't know. We've, of course, got Google out there that can help a ton. If you know how to use it, it can help answer almost any question you might have about technology or otherwise. And we've got our website, datadoctors.com/radio, where you'll see some links and some resources and even a place to ask questions and or make suggestions. And we get those questions, suggestions right here in the studio. We talk about some of those things on the air if they're absolutely fascinating and awesome. And we do read each and every one of them and try to reply if we don't talk about them on the air, at least to everybody. So, again, datadoctors.com/radio or the phone line, 602-277-5827. I got one line left open, 602-277-KTAR. The Conficker worm. April Fool's Day. And so some people say, well, April Fool's Day, that's always a day for pranks. That's always a day for people pretending like something bad's happened, but nothing bad actually will happen. So maybe this is like, well, the Y2K scare where it's a lot of hype, but nothing really big's going to happen. Well, that's always a possibility. It certainly is a distinct possibility. The reality is that there are some pretty serious groups out there that are groups that take security pretty seriously, that are investing lots and lots of time into trying to figure out where this code came from. The code, the virus, the worm, excuse me, has been confirmed. It's people have a copy of this thing, and they've looked within the code and have found where there is a trigger date where the payload of this worm will unleash on April 1st. And so these things are fact. Another fact about the whole situation, Microsoft has put $250,000 bounty for any person, any group, any organization that can figure out the origin of this particular worm. And the reason that they're so interested in the origin is that the payload, what happens on April 1st with this virus. First of all, the virus, worm, we interchange these words. Worm is a very specific type of malware. And this is a worm in technical terms. What it's designed to do, and right now it's estimated that, 8 million plus or minus computers on the planet are infected with this particular worm as we speak right now. This thing is designed to just sit quietly doing its thing for right now. And on April 1st, it begins its assault. And one of the first things it's designed to do is to phone home, in a way, connect up to a resource available on the internet and get its instruction set with what it's actually going to do as far as the damage, whether that damage is to individual PCs of those 8 million people, whether it's to users outside of that group. That's unknown at the moment. And so that's why Microsoft and others are interested in finding the source, because if they can track back to the source, they can effectively stop this phone home situation from occurring, or at least be there to intercept it when it does happen, so that the real payload, the real effects of this, get cut off before they even start to happen. And so no one for sure knows exactly what this thing will do come April 1st. They just know that that's the trigger date. And so now there are some out there, and sometimes the media gets a hold of these things and doesn't really have a great education on what this stuff is. And so there's some people out there saying, well, just turn your computer off or unplug from the internet on April 1st. Well, that's fine. That's certainly, if your machine's infected, it won't be participating at that point. But when you do decide to plug back in after April 1st, unless that thing has been cleaned out, it will then start participating in its said attack. Also, if your machine is not currently infected, there's no particular extra danger that occurs on April 1st that anybody's aware of. And so there's some things that we're going to talk about as the show goes on that you can do right now. And in fact, we're going to give you a task when we come back from this break that you can do to check to see. It's a real quick thing. I think most everybody listening can do it. If you're running a Windows-based computer, we're going to give you step-by-step instructions on how you can check right now to see if you're potentially infected with this Conficker worm or not. And we're going to talk about some things you can do to make sure that you're doing everything possible to head off this and other issues that might be out there. So you want to definitely stay tuned for that. We are the Data Doctors. You're listening to the Computer Corner. And we're going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we got your calls and questions, 602-277-5827. Stick around. Do you have symptoms of the Conficker worm? Symptoms include automatic updates inside of your control panel being disabled or inaccessible. That's actually one of the biggest things that you're going to see, which means that this thing sits very, very quietly in your system and hangs out there waiting to do its damage. Let's give a little quick history sort of viruses and malware. Going back years and years ago, most viruses were written by, written by guys trying to get notoriety, guys and gals, we'll say. Script Kiddies became a big name because these were people that were trying to sort of show off for each other, and oftentimes you'd have people taking credit for being able to do this. It was them showing off their skills. That ends with a Z, because skills, you can't spell with an S if you're a true hacker. So these things were mostly in the category of nuisances. Sometimes they were destructive, but oftentimes these viruses were meant to make headlines by disrupting people's ability to work or play or do whatever it was. And so the issue that the viruses had is that they would oftentimes they would show themselves very, very quickly. As soon as you were infected, you would know about it because they'd be in your face and they'd be doing all these awful, weird things. And sometimes they'd be removing data. And oftentimes they were so good at advertising themselves that people knew where they were infected almost immediately. And then when they would pursue avenues to try to make sure that they weren't infected any longer, because who wants to work in a machine they know is already infected, right? So this is sort of self-destructive if you're a guy writing viruses, because if everybody knows that they have your particular threat active, they're going to do whatever it takes to shut that thing down. So the guys writing viruses got a little smarter when they figured out that it would be a lot cooler to go ahead and infect your machine, but have you not know anything about it. And in fact, make it difficult for you to detect it and difficult for you to be able to patch and fix your way around it. And so most viruses these days, and worms and malware in general, are written in such a way that they hide very quietly and they do their work very quietly. And their work that they're designed to do these days is all about a profit. Generally, either trying to get you to buy products, services, software, whatever the case might be, that's supposed to clean your machine up. But of course, the products don't really do anything, and they get your money. And so that's one goal of malware writers these days. The other is to try to gain information, whether that's to steal identities, whether that's to get access to credit cards, bank accounts, whatever it is, trying to garner information from you. And so those are the two most common things today. But at the end of either of these types of scenarios is a business that's trying to make money. And that's what these things are about. So it's no longer about people trying to show off and gain notoriety. These people are serious people trying to make money, and they're doing it in very unscrupulous ways. And so that's sort of why these things now have become very quiet and very silent and very tough for people, especially average Joe users, to be able to know that they have them or that there is indeed a problem or a threat. And so, again, if you are interested in information, we've got information posted at our website, datadoctors.com/radio. There's information about the worm you may have heard about in the media and in the news all over called the Configure Worm, or in some cases people could call it the April 1st or April Fool's Day worm, the thing that's set to unleash here next Wednesday. Now, I told you before we went to the break that we'd give you a couple of quick steps that are going to help you determine, not necessarily if you have this worm, but actually if you don't have this worm, which is probably the majority of us. If we think about for a minute, 8 million people are at this point estimated to be infected. That sounds like a lot of people, except for when you consider that there are over a billion computers connected to the internet right now. And so if there are a billion computers connected to the internet and 8 million of those are infected, that's a super duper duper small percentage. And then it's estimated that the majority of those 8 million infected PCs are overseas. In fact, in China is the estimate. And why has a lot to do with that's sort of an emerging technologies emerging in that area, and so they're a little bit sort of behind the times. They don't have the experience that we maybe have here because they're just getting PCs. And if you think about a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, there was lots and lots of virus and worm activity here because we were all new to this stuff too, and we were trying to learn the rules of the road and figure this out. So they're going through that now. So the chances are you're not infected. Chances are that you don't have an issue, and chances are that this won't be a huge, huge deal come April 1st. So, quick steps. Open up Internet Explorer if you're running a Windows-based computer. And regardless of which version of Internet Explorer you're running, at the top is a little bar that either will be on the left or the right-hand side, depending on the version. But you want to click under Tools and go down to Windows Update. This is going to manually attempt to take you to Microsoft's Windows Update site. If you get there to the regular Windows Update site and you're able to see updates and apply those things, then you are not infected with anything having to do with Configure, And you can rest assured that that's not an issue for you. If you can't get there, you may have a problem. You may be infected. And so when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what you can do if you think you're infected, or if you're still not 100% sure, some steps you can take to make sure you're okay. So you want to stick around for that? Of course, we got two lines open for you, 602-277-5827. We are the Data Doctors. We're here for another hour and a half, so please stick around, 602-277-5827. Back right after the break. Back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about the infamous worm about to unleash all of its unbridled damage on the world come April 1st. The Conficker worm.
That worked out pretty nicely.
It did work out nicely. I wish I could say I timed that, but I'll leave it up to Pete to take credit for that because it happened at just the right time. The Conficker worm, you've heard about it in the news and the media, on TV and newspapers, online, and now on this show. And I'm going to tell you that I don't think it's as big a deal as the media is making it out to be. This is the biggest deal I've seen the media make out of something malware-related in years. And I don't see why this is terribly different than a lot of other things that are out there. There's something that's been going on for the last 9 months or so, maybe a year, that I think is just as big, if not bigger, because, you know, part of what we do during the week, we have computer service and repair shops all over the country. People bring us their problems. Generally, they don't bring us computers in perfect working condition and say, hey, look at how awesome this thing's running. They almost always bring us their frustrations, their, gosh, this thing is running really slow, I'm getting these pop-ups, I can't do this, I can't do that, I want to be able to do this, I need to be able to do that, I need something new, can you help me out with that, I need this fixed, whatever it is, right? And so that's what we see all day, every day, thousands of machines every single month. And for the last 9 months, 10 months or so, there's been a worm or a virus and lots of variants of this thing called the Antivirus 2009 or Windows Antivirus 2009, or it's called lots of different things. But in essence, people are infected with something that's telling them that they have something bad and that there's this perfect product that if they just put in their credit card information, they can buy that will solve their problem. And the product that it's trying to get them to buy looks and feels so legitimate, like part of the operating system, like a true good product, that people are falling for this thing left and right. And we get tons of machines in that are infected with this thing. And I got to tell you, they're not something that average Joe is going to be able to clean up. It's very easy to become infected with this thing. And this has been out for a long, long time. And we've talked about it here on the show. And it's something that I think has probably been the biggest threat that's real out there that we've seen in years. And it's not made the news at all.
I can tell you why this one's probably big.
April 1st.
Being April Fools, yep, and the appeal that can have in the media, I completely understand why. And there's still some questions surrounding it.
There's no doubt that it is a real threat. The issue is if we talked about the way to tell if you don't have this thing, and that is open up Internet Explorer, click on Tools, and go to Windows Update. And if it takes you to the Windows Update website or to the Microsoft Update website, either one, you don't have this particular virus. And so that you can take off of your plate. That doesn't mean while you're there, you might as well update anything that has to be updated. You can go through that. And if you listen to the show, we've been telling you for years and years and years, the basic rules of the road, that you need to have good antivirus, anti-spyware software. If you want to see a list of things that we recommend, or more importantly, recommend against, we have that at our free help center, datadoctors.com. You click where it says free help center, and look where it says approved software. There's a link there for that. And so good antivirus, anti-spyware. You need to have some kind of firewall in place. Now, if you're on a high-speed connection and there's more than one PC in your house, you have a device called a router that acts as a basic firewall already. There's also a built-in firewall in Windows that does a decent job. And then a lot of the antivirus, anti-spyware products out there come with a firewall. And so for many of you, you already have this. And then finally, we recommend you turn automatic updates on and set it to automatically download and install updates. And either that or download and notify you and allow you to make the choice whether or not you want to install. But either way, whether you do that or not, we recommend that you at least keep your system well patched. And so that's been our recommendation standing for years. And if you're doing those things regularly, coupled with following basic internet safety rules, meaning don't go to sites that are borderline sketchy sites. And I don't know how to get real specific without getting myself into probably trouble, so I won't. But if you're going to nice, legitimate sites and you're checking your email and you're doing things that are normal things and going about your business in a normal way, you should overall be in pretty good shape. So for the rest, then if you're not following those basic rules of the road, if you don't have good antivirus and antispyware protection in place, you don't have a firewall, you're leaving yourself pretty wide open, then yeah, you should be concerned about these kinds of things. For anybody who's just, this is all too much to think about, all too much to figure out, you're of course welcome to stop by any of our locations anywhere. You can go to our website, put in your zip code. We'll, for no charge at all, take a quick look with you while you wait there. We'll make sure that you don't have this worm or any other thing going on in your machine that's of concern. And if you do, we'll talk to you about what you can do to get yourself fixed up. So that's a standing invitation for anybody out there who wants to take advantage. We'll be happy to hold your hand, help you out, and one-on-one look at your situation, and won't charge you a thing for that. You let them know that Kevin and Brandon sent you, and we'll just take good care of you. So, again, we've got resources posted for you online, datadoctors.com/radio. And we've got a couple lines open for you, 602-277-5827. We've got some callers that have been hanging on for a long time, and I think we're going to jump to a few of them right now so we can see if we can help some people out. So up first here, it's George on the computer corner. George, welcome.
Welcome. I've got a computer with Windows XP on it, and it's not recognizing the DVD drive or any of my UBS drives anymore. I understand this possibly could be a registry problem or so, even though I've never gone in it, so something's disabled them or so. Any idea what I can do?
So you've got internal drives, optical drives. It won't recognize those, and it won't recognize anything external hooked up via USB, you said?
Right. I could put a UBS drive in there, and it doesn't see it.
Okay.
When I go to my computer or Explorer or whatever.
Hey, George, just between you and me?
Yes.
USB, not UBS?
Or UBS. Or
I'm just helping give you an education.
USB,
tomato, tomato, it's all the same. Okay, so there's something that's preventing these things from being recognized, and most likely it's some kind of conflict, a driver conflict, something in your device manager. Do you know how to get into your device manager?
No, I don't.
Okay, the simplest way, do you have a My Computer icon on your desktop somewhere?
Yes, I do.
If you right-click on that and go down to Manage.
Manage, all right.
Yep, and this is for assuming you have Windows 2000, Windows XP, Windows Vista, any of these.
XP.
Yeah, so any of those things, you right-click, go down to Manage, and it's going to come up with a little menu of a bunch of choices, and right there you'll see Device Manager on the left-hand side under Computer Management, then System Tools.
Okay.
And so when you click on Device Manager on the left-hand side, on the right-hand side, it shows you all the devices, and it doesn't show an expanded view by default. It shows sort of a compressed view. And so what we're looking for in that big, long list of things is anything that has a yellow exclamation point or a red X next to it. Do you see anything like that?
Right now, I'm not on my computer, but when I get home, I will check that.
So when we look through that list, if you have nothing with a yellow exclamation point or red X, that means that Windows recognizes everything it thinks is in your computer from a hardware standpoint and is able to work with it. My guess is you're going to have at least one and probably several things that have these yellow exclamation points or red Xs. And what that tells us basically is Windows has no idea exactly what that device is. It just sort of knows the general type. And so that's where the issue lies. Now, how do we solve that problem is generally you end up trying to find these device drivers, and they're located out there on the internet for almost every device on the planet. What you have to do is figure out what the device is and what manufacturer makes it and what model number this device is. So, for example, in your case, it's probably going to be a drive controller or a what they'll call a disk controller, IDE controller, something like that.
Okay.
So if you have, for example, a HP computer, you would then go to HP's website, you'd go to their support section, and you'd go to their place where you can download these drivers, and you'd have to put in the model number of the computer you have and a couple of other things depending on the manufacturer, and it should then provide you a list of all the things that are what they'll call drivers for your devices inside of that computer.
Okay.
And you would download the ones that correspond to what you see that's broken, right, with that yellow exclamation point or red X.
Right.
And they're going to have different instructions depending on exactly what you're downloading for how to install. But that's generally what's going to take care of this. Now, it may be that that's not what the issue is. There may be some other problem, and that would be something of a hardware-related issue or something along those lines. But I would give that sort of the software driver thing a shot first. And beyond that, you're probably going to need to, if that's not going to solve your problem, get somebody that knows a little bit more about what's going on there that can take a look at that.
Okay.
To figure out and troubleshoot what's going on.
All right. I'll give that a shot.
Okay.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Good luck, and thanks for the call.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
602-277-5827. That's the number you can reach us at. And, of course, if you want more information on the Configure Worm and things you can do to check to see if you have this particular worm, if you think you have it, or just some general overall information, this is it's specifically called the Configure C Worm. There's already been an A and a B, and guess what? There's a D already out there, not yet in the wild, but that's out there a ways. The big news, as far as we're concerned, is that if you're following the basic rules of the road, then I don't think this is a huge, huge deal. And I think that there will be something that will happen on the 1st, but I don't think it's going to be nearly as widespread as the media is making it out to be. Now, I could be wrong about that. If you think I'm wrong, give us a call here, 602-277-5827. Or if you have questions about whatever your frustration is or what your need is, we'll take that too. We're going to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, we got Stacy, we got Clint, we got Terry, and we got room for you. Again, 602-277-5827. Back right after this. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about the April 1st worm, the Configure Worm, set to launch its little payload come April 1st, this coming Wednesday. We've got resources posted for you if you're interested in what this thing is, what it does, where it comes from, if you might be in trouble. All those resources posted for you online, datadoctors.com/radio. We promised we were going to jump back on the phones and talk to people and help them out with their particular issues. So we're going to do just that. And up next is Clint, who has been on for quite a bit, hanging on there. Clint, we appreciate it. How can we help?
No problem. Actually, no, it's not help. I just wanted to just kind of throw something in there. I mean, this Configure thing, I don't know. I go back and forth on it or whatnot. I kind of think that a lot of it has to do with media hyping it up. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe even some of these antivirus software programmers are the ones that actually developed it in the beginning. But at any rate, I just want to throw a little information out there. There is a program out there called SpyBot Search and Destroy that actually will immunize your system against that Configure. If you immunize search, and it'll actually stop it from... stop you from even getting infected in the first place on a relatively good, on a good system at any rate.
Certainly the SpyBot Search and Destroy, good program. It's not an active protection program, meaning it's designed to come in after the fact and clean up problems. So it's not generally a preventative type thing that's like a real-time protection. So that part of it, yes, I agree. There are past variants of this particular Configure Worm that certainly can be cleaned up. At this point, no one has developed an antivirus, if you will, for this particular variant, simply because the virus isn't complete yet, meaning what's sitting out there on people's machines is sort of empty code waiting for its instruction set. And so until this thing launches, we won't have a fix for it. It's kind of like every year there are the flu virus. They have to figure out exactly what this year's particular strains are, and then they go ahead and make up the flu shots. We're still at that point, and we have to wait until after the launch date to know what the true payload is so that they can have a fix for it. And so SpyBot Search and Destroy, none of these programs are a fix. And today, what I'd really like to stress to people is that you do things to head off the problem. Let's not get a plan of attack ready for when we're infected. Let's just eliminate the problem to begin with. And so if you have good active protection, both antivirus, anti-spyware, if you have all the latest Windows updates and patches and things installed, and you have a firewall in place, and you're able to go to the Windows Update site by clicking on Tools and Windows Update within Internet Explorer, then you do not have this particular worm today, and you've got the best possible protection you can have against it and other things. And so that's really the message of today's show. But, hey, Clint, cool. I appreciate the call, and thanks for chiming in.
All right, man.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right.
So open up a line, 602-277-5827. Let's go next to Robert, Robert, Thanks.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for hanging on. How can we help, sir?
Yeah, I've got a quad-core machine, and I was wondering, is it necessary to actually tune those cores, or will it just perform at maximum performance?
Necessary to tune those cores. I'm not even sure I know what that means.
Well, there's programs out there that are called core tuners.
Okay.
That actually allow you to tune the cores.
So I'm not one of those tweaky kind of guys that would I don't know anybody that would go and download a piece of software or go get a program that would do core tuning. Generally, if you're trying to get performance out of a machine, you go and buy good hardware. And the operating systems we run today are generally designed to take advantage of that and execute the instruction set and don't need any kind of third-party software to help that out. And so if it was me, I'd be sort of leery of that kind of stuff. I'm sure there's somebody out there who's going to correct me and tell me I'm wrong, that you can get, 2% better performance by doing X, Y, or Z. But at the end of the day, I think you're introducing a whole lot of potential for problems and probably very little upside gain. So
okay.
I guess I don't have a great answer for you other than if it was me, I wouldn't do it.
Okay, thanks.
All right? Thanks for the call, Robert.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's kind of a different kind of call. We usually get the sort of generic, hey, I got this kind of question, I got this kind of problem, and tuning a quad core. Most people are listening going, well, what is he even talking about? And he's talking about something that's pretty obscure and that I don't think many people would care much about.
You know, that's one of those things that if you try it without knowing it, you're going to create a lot of problems for yourself.
And I'll be honest, I don't even fully understand exactly what he's talking about, which tells me...
Well, sometimes, what I'm inferring, and maybe I'm wrong, is like maybe overclocking a little bit to get a little bit more performance, or much beyond that, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, kind of an odd thing. And for guys that are in the industry that use this stuff and work with this stuff all the time, that's...
I think I'm ready to move on.
You ready to move on?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, I we're running up against a break here, so before we take more calls, I thought we'd talk a little bit more about the for people who missed the steps you can take right now. If you're sitting in front of your computer, open up Internet Explorer, click under Tools, and then go to Windows Update. If you get to the site, and it's a Microsoft site, and it's your normal place, A, go ahead and apply whatever critical updates that it's showing are available for you, and take care of that business while you're there. But the fact that you got there, that tells you you don't have this particular worm that's set to release its payload April 1st, the Conficker worm. The other thing you can check is in your control panel, look for the automatic updates section. And if that particular tool has been disabled, that's another good sign that you have this problem. It's not. If it's enabled, if it's working, then you don't have this Conficker worm, and you can just continue moving on with life. Make sure, again, you have good antivirus and spyware protection. Make sure you keep your machine up to date. And by all means, don't panic. Just keep listening to us. We got a full hour of Computer Corner left. When we come back, each speak of the week and more of your calls and questions, 602-277-5827. Stick around.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
Can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
no! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Computer Corner. In case you're just joining us, we are talking a little bit about the Conficker worm set to release its nasty payload on the world come April 1st, this coming Wednesday. If you're looking for more information on that and steps you can take to make sure you're protected, you just surf on over to datadoctors.com/radio and you can check those things out. Now, before we get back to the phones, before we talk to you about your computer questions, your issues, we have something that we're implored to do, and we do it at the same time every week. It's a little something we call our Geek Speak of the Week. Each and every week, we spend minutes at least researching, slaving away to find some term, some phrase, some acronym, something from the dictionary of geekdom, Yes, I did say the Dictionary of Geekdom. We find this phrase, this term, this acronym, this text message, and that's awesome. I should probably turn that off, right? Yeah. We find this, and we bring it to you and explain to you what this phrase, word, acronym, whatever have you, means, so that you are armed when you're talking to those, you know, those guys out there, those geeks and nerds, the guys who try to talk down to you and, like, pretend like they know so much more than you, so they're so much better than you. Or we give you a little insight into what their terminology is so that you can fight back. Kevin, what's this week's Geek Speak?
This week is polymorphic code.
Polymorphic code?
Yeah.
Polymorphic. How many syllables is that? Four, right? Last time I checked? Polymorphic. Sure. That's a big word. What does it mean?
It's computer code that's able to mutate as it spreads, so it avoids antivirus programs detection.
Huh. So it changes sort of what it is and what
it's
it
like,
does.
It's like a stealth.
So this sort of relates a little bit to the Conficker worm in that it's right now already infected a bunch of machines and it's trying to infect more. And while it's out there doing its thing, it's sort of quietly waiting until April 1st to go out and get its next set of instructions, where it will then morph into something else. And so that's how it relates. Polymorphic code. That's our Geek Speak of the Week. Now, don't you feel better for knowing?
I do.
Great. Back to the phones?
Yeah.
Yeah? You up for that?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you answer these next couple questions.
Great.
It's all on you.
Great.
Great. Up next is Lou, who has issues with zone alarm, I believe. Lou?
Yes. Yeah, thanks for the putting me on here. I've got zone alarm, antivirus, and firewall. And I downloaded their latest engine update.
Okay.
Okay, and I have two problems. When I do the antivirus scan, when it gets to cwindows undercarriage default.pif, it hangs there. And it can hang there for 5 minutes up to an hour. And the other problem is when I shut down the computer, it used to take me like about 45 seconds. Now it takes 2.5 minutes till it actually decides to shut down.
Yeah, so the Zone Alarm was a piece of software that was put out years and years ago, and it was before Windows had its own firewall. It was out there as one of the first sort of probably what I would say good Windows firewall programs that was available, and they had a nice free version that got a lot of people interested, and later they put out a pay version, and they did some other things. Now, recently, they've added to their repertoire antivirus and anti-spyware software, and they're a what I would call a newcomer in that arena. And I've heard a few people having problems with their stuff, and I'm one of those guys that I don't like to be the first guy on the block to try something new out. And so, based on what you're telling me, this is you're not the first guy to tell me that there's had problems with. Not with Zone Alarm, the old-fashioned Zone Alarm firewall, but with these new products that they've tried to introduce now. And I'm not sure if they're the guys writing the software, if they have somebody else writing it and they're just packaging it. But what I would do if I were you, Lou, is this is software you've paid for, correct?
Correct.
Do you know if they offer any kind of support and things with that purchase? Or?
Well, there is something in there, and you have to type it all in, and I'm not that educated to typing all this in and know exactly what I have here.
They don't have phone support available for you? It's only online?
Yeah, it's online.
Okay, so I was going to say you might try contacting them since you've paid them for a product that now is starting to cause you problems.
I did try that. I never got an answer. I probably didn't fill the form out right.
Or it could be that there's a lot of companies out there that only offer very limited support options, and then they make it very tough for you to jump through the hoops so that they basically avoided having to really give a lot of support. I'm not saying that's what these guys have done, but that may be the case. So the next thing you could try, are you familiar with the system restore feature at all on your computer?
No, not really.
There's something built into Windows, and it's been there since, it's been for a couple of versions at least of Windows, that basically allows you to sort of go back in time. And so if you said to me, well, this happened ever since I updated, and I updated on this date, let's say it's 3 days ago.
I've got the different system, but, yeah, I can go back, and it does it all over again.
Okay.
It just keeps doing it. I've been everywhere.
I got you. So my thinking was that you could go back to a point in time before when things were working properly, and see. So it could be that there's just some coincidence between you updating their software and this problem occurring that you're now kind of facing. But it's I don't have any specific advice or step-by-step instructions. The Zone Alarm, that, like I said, the antivirus and the spyware, they're fairly new to the game, and something that I've not seen on very many computers. They're a new guy in that arena, and so it's going to take you getting with someone that can take a look at that one-on-one with you,
well,
and figure out what's happening there, or, like I said, trying to go back in time to one of those restore points within Windows.
My time is almost up with them. I have 3 months left. Can you recommend someone else for me to go with?
Well, I can tell you that what we sell and what we recommend in our stores, what I have on my home computers, what Kevin has on his computers, I'm sure, at home, is a product that we really like called the WebRoot Antivirus and Spyware.
WebRoot?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And like I said, it's what we, every customer that comes into our stores, if they don't have active protection, or if theirs is expired or expiring, or if they came in with viruses and they had something that wasn't obviously catching them, this is what we recommend to them. You can go right to their website, webroot.com, WEBROOT.
Okay.
And they've got, I think they even have a like a 30-day trial version, something like that, so you can give it a shot. Now, make sure before you install this stuff, you got to get your old antivirus and spyware completely removed first.
Okay.
So you want to go to the add remove programs, remove that kind of thing. Also, I'm sure this is something you're already doing because you sound like the kind of guy that takes the time to make sure it's being done right. But make sure, if you don't already have a good backup of everything important to you, that you do that before you continue, and just make it a regular habit of something to do. Everybody should be doing that.
That I do all the time.
Yeah. Excellent. I knew you did for some reason, Lee.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you for the call. We appreciate it, and good luck with that.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. That opens up a line, 602-277-5827. Kevin wants you to call. He's got the answer for whatever your problem is. Stacy, Dave, Brad, Terry, you guys stick around. Your calls are up next. More about the Configure Worm and your calls and questions right here on the Computer Corner when we return. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. Did you know we have a cool newsletter? And did you know we send it out weekly? And did you know we don't put any advertisements or spam in it? And did you know we don't sell your name to other people? And did you know that we warn you about stuff that could affect your life when it comes to technology? And did you know that if you subscribe to this newsletter, you'll get it delivered to your inbox free of charge, free of spam, free of garbage, and free of being sold to others? Now, did you know? You can subscribe to the newsletter right at our website, datadoctors.com. You look for the box to put in your email address. You put in your email address in that box that says put in your email address here. You click the button that says subscribe, which will, in fact, subscribe you.
Amazing.
And that's how you join. You could join 40,000 other people, roughly, that get our newsletter each and every week. And I promise you, if you read it, you will learn something every single week. I don't care what your skill level is. You will learn something every single week. How do I know this? Well, I don't, but I'm making that guarantee just...
I know there's some things in there that I learned.
I learn something every single week.
It's not all technical stuff.
Nope.
It could be like this week, there's 10 Craigslist tips for power users. I don't know how to use it. I just know how to browse it.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
I learn something every single week, and there are some weeks when I write it, and I learn something just in the process of writing it. So I can promise you, you'll learn something every single week. And we're not trying to sell you a bunch of junk. I promise you that, too. We're decent guys. We're just trying to help you out. We're trying to help. In fact, if you took all of our advice and followed every bit of it, you probably would never even need most of our services. If you backed up, if you kept your antivirus up to date, if you kept Windows up to date, if you didn't go to unscrupulous websites, if you had a firewall in place, if you did all these things, you'd probably never have any need to ever use any of our services that you'd pay for during the week. You'd just get all this free stuff here on the weekends and through our newsletter, and you'd be happy as can be. And I bet you there's people out there that do that, and I'm glad for them. I'm happy to be able to help them out. That's what we do. Back to the phones. Help people out?
Yeah.
Like we just said, we do?
Sure.
What about Brad? He's been hanging out there a really long time. Hey, Brad, thanks for hanging out. We appreciate it, and we appreciate your patience. How can we help?
Hey, no problem. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Okay, I have an older ADP motherboard, and I don't really want to upgrade and go SLI, or I don't want to go PCI Express or anything like that, because I just play WoW, and I just want, you know, WoW to run easily.
Oh, Brad, are you in luck? We have, sitting across from me, Mr. Kevin Church, and Mr. Kevin Church is well, we'll just call him a WoW addict.
Excellent.
And so you've got a guy that feels your pain right here. And so to translate for the rest of the world, Brad has a computer that's a few years old that has the older technology, if you will, of the slot as far as what video card will go in there. He has something called AGP. And these days, if you buy a computer, it won't have that kind of technology. It'll have PCI Express. And so Brad wants to know, I'm guessing you're looking for some kind of video card to help improve your performance, but you need something in the AGP arena. And you don't need anything nutso because your main concern is to try to improve the performance of your online game WoW, right?
Yeah, right. And if I don't have to buy a new power supply to upgrade it or anything like that, that'd be awesome. I just wanna run WoW, eventually Diablo 3 whenever they release that.
So. WoW, and for people listening, WoW is a acronym for World of Warcraft. It's a massive multiplayer online game. Kevin, explain what WoW is.
It's kind of hard to explain, but it's an online game that a lot of people play together.
Yeah.
That's great explanation. Easiest way of doing it.
Awesome explanation,
Kevin.
You can
do a whole show on it, but that's the easiest way to understand it.
If I was a guy, I am a guy, that I've heard of WoW for years. I've said to myself, I should check that out. Can I go check it out? Like, they have like a free 20-second trial or something like that?
No, they give you like a 14-day trial because even though that sounds like, well, that's kind of a long time.
2 weeks,
I could beat the game.
No way.
You're never going to happen.
All right, so I could go try it out for a couple of weeks if I really was interested in what WoW was, and I could find Brad and I could find you on there?
Probably somewhere, yeah.
Probably somewhere. Okay, so do you have any advice for Brad, who is looking for an AGP video card, doesn't need anything overkill, doesn't want to have to buy a new power supply?
Well, with that game, you don't need a whole lot. But what you do need to know is exactly what type of hardware is in your computer, like the exactly how much power the power supply actually provides the computer.
On the back of that power supply, it should generally tell you, or you might have to open up the case, but it'll say, it'll express it as watts. So it'll say, you know, 250 watt, 400 watt, whatever the case might be. Right, so that's what you're looking for, is the watts that power supply outputs. And we want to see something, I would say, probably at least 325 to 350 watts or higher. Correct?
I think mine's 440 or something like that, so I think I'm good.
Yeah, you should be in good shape there. And so then you want to look, your choices, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you want to look at it, are going to be fairly limited because the AGP technology just is the older technology. So find out what's available. You could go down to one of those places that they have grocery stores, but they also have this electronics store, and see if they have anything in stock. You could go online and do a little hunting. Anything that's got an ATI chipset or an NVIDIA chipset is what you're looking for.
So what I found on the internet is I found something called an HD Sapphire, but it says AGP 8X. How do I know if I have an 8X AGP slot?
More than likely, that's what you've got.
Yeah, and those things are generally backwards compatible, so they'll they'll work with the older technology as well. But that's most likely what you've got, and Sapphire is an ATI card, so I think you'll be in good shape.
Excellent. All right, well, you guys have been very helpful. Thank you.
All right, Brad, good luck, and thanks for the call.
Thanks, man.
Bye-bye. We've got a full half-hour show left here, so be sure to stick around for Terry, Dave, Stacy, and Bob, and a place for you is 602-277-5827. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking a little bit about the Configure Worm, the Configure.C variant. I know it's very specific. It's the worm that you've heard about in the news and in the media that's supposed to unleash its madness come April 1st, this coming Wednesday. I'm here to tell you that there are things out there that are bigger dangers and bigger threats that we see on a daily basis than this thing. And so don't freak out. If you've got good antivirus protection, anti-spyware protection, if you have a firewall, if you have the latest Windows updates, you should be in pretty good shape. And if you can get the latest Windows update, open up Internet Explorer right now. Click on Tools, then go to Windows Update. If you can get to that website that it should take you to, you do not have this particular worm. No, shutting off your computer on April 1st will not avoid some problem happening, unless the entire world decided to do that. But I don't think the problem's going to be anything real major and huge for most of us on the planet.
So we don't need to hide in a basement or a closet?
I don't think so. I don't think that the world's going to come to an end. I don't think that the internet's going to stop functioning. I don't think these things are going to occur. That's just my take. I don't know. We got resources, information posted for you online, datadoctors.com/radio. You can check those things out. And, of course, if you're interested, you'll see links there to ask a question or give us feedback. By the way, someone, let me see if I can tell you who that someone is, someone wrote in and asked, hey, I didn't hear you guys talking about what to do on my Mac machine. It was Marvin. Marvin says, I haven't heard any talk of checking my Macintosh laptop for the virus. Is there less of a threat for Mac users, or is it just a percentage thing that keeps you from offering advice for Mac? Well, no, Marvin. This particular worm takes advantage of an exploit found in Windows. Actually, an exploit that was discovered last year, and a patch has been available for this particular problem since October of 2008. So unless you haven't done Windows updates in a really long time, you should already be patched for this kind of attack. People who need to possibly be concerned, if you just bought a new PC, and this goes for anybody buying a new computer, if the place you're buying it from doesn't tell you, show you, and prove to you that it's got all the latest updates installed when you take delivery, which is pretty much most places you buy it from, you might want to make sure you got all those updates before you get too far into your usage. If you buy a computer from us, it's one of the things we do. We make sure it has every update up to the minute when you come to pick that thing up from us. We believe that when you buy something, it should come with everything you need and be in the best shape possible. A lot of places out there, when you buy off the shelf from the big box retailers, you know, the machine was manufactured months and months before. It sat on a shelf in a distribution center, then went to a warehouse, then came to the store, sat on a shelf. By the time you get it home and plug it in and turn it on for the first time, it's been months and months and months, maybe even up to a year or more since it was manufactured. And that means everything that was put out as far as an update since that time period is missing from that machine. So first thing you do is when you plug that thing in, go get all the updates, apply them, make sure you're patched, protected, all the service packs, all those things. And it's easy to do. You go to Windows Update, you click on Tools within Internet Explorer, down to Windows Update, you get all those things. It's very simple. So new computer users, definitely, if you buy a computer on the 31st or on the 1st, maybe wait a day or so to plug it in. But for everybody else, follow the normal rules and advice we've been giving you for years, and I think you're going to be in pretty good shape. Back to the phones, and wow, let's talk to Terry, who's been hanging out for a really long time. Terry, thanks for your patience. How can we help?
Yeah, good afternoon. Call me, probably an idiot, but yesterday I got a thing on there to update Internet Explorer up to the newest version, 8 or whatever it is.
Okay.
So I went ahead and did that, and it was acting slow and stuff, you know, loading up unlike my previous version. So this morning I thought, what the heck, I thought I'd get rid of it and try to go back to the prior version. So much like you were telling an earlier caller, I went to a system restore and went back a couple of days and did a system restore. And needless to say, it's now locked up. My Internet Explorer's not responding. I got some error message and all this other fun stuff.
Okay, and I'm assuming between all these different things, you rebooted your machine and it's still having the same kind of problems?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
and now if I go back to system restore, try and do it again, it doesn't even give me any dates or anything. The date field is just totally blue.
Yeah, it sounds like there's something else going on there, and Internet Explorer could have been the catalyst, and at least it's getting the blame here. There is a new version of Internet Explorer that Microsoft is kind of quietly releasing right now, and it's been around actually for quite a long time in its beta form. I've been using it for a while on my machines at home and at work and things. I don't see anything that's particularly compelling about it that would make me want to run out and go get the latest version. So if you haven't yet done it, you might want to learn a little bit from Terry's pain and hold off a few days. For you, in your particular case, Terry, you've tried to go back to with a system restore that's not working for you. Now you can't even go back and undo that.
Right.
You've got these other issues. At this point, first, make sure that anything that you care about has been backed up and backed up recently. Number one. Number two, I don't know if it's quite a solution for you, but it's something to try. For now, in the hopes that in the next few days or few weeks, there may be some patches or fixes, because your problem, I'm sure, if it's just an Internet Explorer issue, you won't be alone, and there will be fixes for this kind of thing. So my suggestion is you could try to go download an alternate browser like Mozilla's Firefox.
Yeah, I do have Firefox on my machine right now.
So. Okay, so if you don't open it in Explorer and you just go into Firefox, are you able to use your computer and everything works okay?
I didn't even try doing the Firefox, to be honest with you.
Okay, so you might want to try just restart the computer and then avoid Internet Explorer for a few days. Just use Firefox. And if the problem only seems to be limited to when you're running Internet Explorer, then you have all these issues, then let's just avoid using that for the time being. And
right.
And like I said, let's give it a few days or a few weeks to let some of the rest of the world guinea pig this thing. And if there's major issues, they're going to discover those and put out some patches and things for them. And buy you a little bit of time. If it turns out that there's you're having other issues outside of that, then it's time to address, well, what are these other symptoms, and let's see if there's some other underlying issue that's causing all this in the first place.
Yeah, Firefox comes up. I just click it on, and that's no problem getting onto Firefox.
Okay, so that at least gets you a way to bypass this and at least live or limp along with this thing for a little bit, and so until we can get some time behind us and see if this is something that's going to sort of take care of itself or if you're going to have to get a little more aggressive.
Right, so possibly there was just a little... It's just not interacting. There's a little bug in the new program, unfortunately.
Could be that, or it could be you had something sort of pre-existing that wasn't really showing itself, and, and now here it is. We also sometimes see people that upgrade thinking it's going to solve some kind of problem, and I can tell you from experience that if you have a problem, that's the worst time in the world to try to upgrade around it. You got to stop and kind of fix the problem and take care of whatever the issue is first.
I didn't have any problems, and usually I don't bother upgrading. Everything's working fine. I don't know what was going on in my brain.
You got Jedi mind tricked, my friend.
Yeah, I'm thrilled about it, let me tell you.
Well, this is some of the fun and joy of computer ownership, I hate to say. But if you can at least bypass this for a little bit, like I said, let's get a little road behind us, and then maybe we're going to have some different answers that'll sort of take care of itself down the road.
Not being real good on this kind of fun stuff, is there a way to, because all my favorites and all that fun stuff is on the Internet Explorer one, is there a way to find all that in Firefox, or is...
Normally if you would just download and install Firefox, the first time you would open it, it would ask you if you wanted to import these things. In your situation, that's not going to happen. What you can do is temporarily go open up Internet Explorer and export those things, and then import them in Firefox, or there may be a way, it's been such a long time, that you don't even have to export them from Internet Explorer. Kevin,
you know? Yeah, my problem is Internet Explorer won't even open.
Right. You may be able to. When you open up Firefox, just go under File and Import, and then there's like a little import wizard. See if it doesn't walk you through the ability to just import those without having to even open Internet
Explorer.
The
last time that I installed Firefox, that was one of the first things that it asked me was whether or not I wanted to bring those over. But
he's had it installed for a while, so it's not asking that kind of stuff.
Huh.
Right.
So like I said, open up the Firefox, click on File and Import, and step through that little wizard. And I seem to remember it would go out and just kind of locate and grab those favorites and things and pull them across. So. Give that a shot.
Okay, probably will. I just figured I'd ask you since I finally got you on the phone. So.
Yeah, you bet. Or use Google as your friend. You want to import this stuff, and somebody's going to have some step-by-step, here's how you do this kind of stuff out there.
Okay, great.
All right?
Okay guys. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for the call, Terry. We appreciate it. And good luck with that. And give us a call back and let us know how that works out. Right?
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick time out here. If you're interested in information about the ConfigureWorm, the thing you've been hearing about all over the media, the thing that's set to strike on April 1st, all you know it's called the April Fools or the April Fool's Worm. Well, we've got that information posted for you online, datadoctors.com/radio. When we come back, more of your calls and questions. It's the Computer Corner. Stick around. It's the final segment here on the Computer Corner. If you missed any part of the show, Kevin, what do they do?
Go to datadoctors.com under radio show, and you can listen to it all over again.
Well, not immediately, but we'll have the audio archives posted there for you to check out shortly after the show. There's also previous shows going back years and years and years and years and years and years and years. You can see all the links, all the resources, all the info, and listen to the shows in their entirety. All right there from the comfort of your computer. datadoctors.com/radio, that's the place to get caught up. Back to the phones. Let's see if we can burn through as many folks as possible before we have to give up the microphone here. Who was up next? I think Bob has been hanging out there the longest. Bob, thanks for giving us a call here, and how can we help?
Thanks for having me on. It's just an annoyance that I'd really like to get rid of is the autocomplete alert window.
and I hear a lot of that with people I talk to. It's just an annoyance. And IE, Internet Explorer.
Okay.
And I know I'm as savvy as to be able to go to Internet Explorer and go into tools.
Let's back up a second before you start telling me what you've done to troubleshoot. What's the problem you're having? Because I'm not sure I understand.
Well, I'm searching for something on Google, or I'm entering passwords and whatnot, and autocomplete wants to come on and says, do you want to use this to remember your search criteria, or...
Is it remembering things that you don't want it to remember, or it's not remembering stuff you do?
No, it's just the basic initial window that pops up, and it's like I didn't ask for it. I go into content, the content tab, and the advanced tab, and have all that stuff unchecked. Although I did just now look, one box was checked that I had unchecked, which is scary. Under in tools.
Okay, Bob, but I'm still failing to understand. Is it doing something you don't want it to do, or is it not doing something you do want it to do?
Well, it's doing something I don't want it to do, and the initial window pops up and asks me, do I want to use autocomplete, and then...
Okay, when that window's popping up asking if you want to turn autocomplete on, yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay,
want it there in the first place.
Okay, whoa, hang on. That window, it's asking you a yes or no question, and in the bottom left-hand corner it has a checkbox that you can put a check in, and it says, don't ever ask me this again.
Mine doesn't. I swear, I would have checked it a long time.
Okay, is it possible that window's not fully expanded? Because there should be a little checkbox there that you can check and says, don't bug me about this anymore.
Yeah. I was thinking that I'd be able to take care of that in the settings, advanced settings, and the content settings of Internet Explorer, but...
There's tons and tons and tons of settings. I can tell you, if you want to set things back to default, which is where I would start... If you click on Tools and then go down to Internet Options,
you bet.
Then click on the Advanced tab. At the very bottom, towards the right hand side, there's a Reset button.
Okay.
You would click on Reset, and it's going to ask you, "Are you sure you want to reset all this stuff?" And you're going to click Reset again.
Okay.
And it's going to go through and change a bunch of settings, and then it's going to have you say "Okay" a few times. You have to close Internet Explorer completely, and when you reopen it, it's back to like you've never opened Internet Explorer before in your life. So it's starting with all the default settings.
Okay.
And so each of those questions, it's going to pop up and ask you about phishing filters. It's going to pop up and ask you about all kinds of different things. Pay attention the first time each of those comes up. There should be a checkbox for almost all of them saying, don't bug me about this stuff again. So that's what I would do. The other thing is that if you have any third-party browser toolbars, like the Google toolbar or the Hearts and Smileys toolbar or the you name it toolbar, I would uninstall. Yeah, I would uninstall and remove any of those extra toolbars that are a part of that. Almost all of them are trying to advertise products and services. Almost none of them actually help you do anything.
Yeah, even the AVG, which I was coached in that, you want the AVG toolbar up there.
If it was me, I would get rid of all those toolbars other than the ones that come with the browser. If it was me.
Uh-huh.
You have... virus antivirus protection, which is distinct and different from some toolbar that some antivirus manufacturer is going to put there that's designed to advertise products and services to you. It's not there to... I mean, it might add some feature that gives you help, and if that's good for you, great. If it's me, my computers, they don't have that stuff on them.
It's not important in terms of functional security suite protection.
Correct.
AVG or whoever, huh?
Well, the software itself, yes, but having a toolbar in and of itself adds no layer of protection or security. It is designed primarily for them to advertise products and services to you. It may have some benefit to you, and if it does, great. But it doesn't provide any extra additional layer of protection or security for you.
Very good.
Okay.
How do you like AVG or dislike or whatever?
This is a question. If you ask 10 guys who work on computers or 10 guys in the industry what they like, you might get 5 different answers. It's sort of a Chevy, Ford, Dodge kind of thing.
Yeah.
I can tell you it's not what I run on my computers. It's not what I recommend to my friends and family. I don't know if that tells you anything, but I'm not a big fan. We get a lot of machines in our shops that have that particular product that have viruses on them, and I'm not saying that there's not something else that's contributing, but we remove it an awful lot.
Okay?
Very good. Thanks, Mel.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye. For everybody else that's out there, Steve, C, and Dave, and Kurt, if you want to hang on, we're going to take your calls off the air, and I promise we will get to you if you just sit tight for a minute. We're just running short on our time here on the air. So, again, Stacy, Dave, Kurt, you all sit tight. We're going to take care of you. For everybody else, again, if you missed any part of the show, if you missed information about this Conficker worm, if you're concerned, if you don't know what to do next, if you want to check to be sure, do you have a problem? If you're like Casey, who he has two computers, one of them he was able to get to Windows Update website like we advised, no problems at all. The other one he's getting problems, and his Windows updates were disabled. These are the two things we told you are quick checks. Casey, you ought to be concerned, and you ought to certainly look at some of the resources we have posted for you. For anybody out there, if all this is confusing you, you're welcome to go to our website, datadoctors.com, put in your zip code in our store locator, call or visit any of our locations. They'll help you out and give you some advice free of charge. So give that a shot. For everybody else, we will have the audio archives for this posted up shortly after the show. And as Kevin says, when it comes to your technology, your computers, your viruses, your worms, if it ain't broke, fix it till it is.